Why do Catholics put the cross up there with Jesus still hanging on it? Don't they know that Jesus is alive and risen from the dead? If I had a dollar for every time I have heard that question, we could build 3 or 4 churches even bigger than what we got here. Okay? I know you've heard that question before, at least if you've lived in Greenville, South Carolina for any appreciable amount of time. And it's one of those questions that as Catholics, we just kind of facepalm. And we think, really? Come to the Easter Vigil sometime where we've got church for hours and hours at night and tell me that Catholics don't believe in the resurrection. That is true, though, that wherever Catholics are to be found, you're going to find the image of the crucified on the altar, on the walls of schoolrooms, around necks, and even on tattooed backs and biceps nowadays. Okay. In the early church, Christians were persecuted. So they came up with a complex level of symbolism to indicate the places where Christians came to worship. There's the famous Jesus fish, you know, the ones that people put on their cars. Because the word fish in Greek, ichthos, can be an acrostic for the first letters in Greek of the phrase, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Then there is the kyro, that monogram that looks like a P over an X, which is the first two letters of Christ in Greek. As soon as Christianity became legal and we started building all these huge churches all over the place, glorious crosses were put in the apse behind the altar. The altar, made of stone, was more than just a table to put bread and wine on top of. It evoked not only the table of the Last Supper, but the stone on which Jesus was laid in the tomb. As Christians became more cognizant of just how the Mass they celebrated every Sunday was a representation in unbloody manner of the bloody sacrifice of Calvary, the cross and the altar became unified. And so little by little, artists began to portray the figure of the dead Christ upon the cross as the central image in the church. Even today, most people think that there has to be a crucifix in a Catholic church somewhere, or it just isn't right. It doesn't feel like a Catholic church, does it? After Vatican II, there were people who said that the Mass wasn't really a sacrifice, but only a meal. And so they took the cross off the altar, away from the center. And then many churches put the priest behind the altar in the center. Now, you know what happens whenever you put a man in the center of anything? And so in many places, the Mass began to be monopolized by the personality of the priest. You know, all of us have gone to Mass in different places and wondered whether we were in a talk show instead of at the Divine Liturgy. Pope Benedict XVI saw this situation and reminded us that the center of the Mass is not the priest or the worshiping community, but Jesus. He's the center of what we do at Mass. That's why he encouraged us to celebrate Mass not with the priest on the backside of the altar and the people on the other, but with priest and people together, facing the cross on the altar. And he said, where that wasn't feasible, a large cross should be on the altar. Not to block the view of the faithful, but to remind us that the Mass is not about us seeing what's going on with bread and wine, because really there's not that much that we do with bread and wine, except transform it into the body and blood of Christ. But in worshiping the Christ whose sacrifice is made present on the altars of our churches. So the reason the body of Jesus is on the cross is not because we can't just have a plain cross, But because it is a visible reminder of the connection between the altar of sacrifice in our churches and the altar of sacrifice, which was the cross of Calvary. But we do have an unadorned cross sometimes. On Good Friday, a plain wooden cross veiled in red is processed into church and unveiled progressively, with the priest singing three times at a successively higher pitch, "Behold the wood of the cross on which hung the Savior of the world." And then the people sing back, "Come, let us worship." On Good Friday, everyone comes up and kneels, falls down in adoration, not before a piece of wood, but the Christ who gave his life in the ultimate sacrifice. Now, for most of church history, the clergy would take off their shoes and creep to the cross with bare feet. It's no longer required, but if you were here for the past two Good Fridays, you've seen us do that. Just as Moses was bidden by God to take off his shoes at the burning bush because he was standing on holy ground, the church's tradition prescribes the same thing to her ministers before another tree of life, which burns but is not consumed. In many Latin countries, a statue of the body of Jesus, and in the East, a burial shroud is processed around the church on Good Friday night in a mock burial service of the dead Christ. And the image of the dead Christ is placed in a kind of tomb awaiting Easter morn when it will be found empty. Now, all of these are little t traditions, as it were. None of them are of the essence of our faith. But they've organically grown up around the church's prayer life. Now, there's going to be people who will tell you flat out that they feel really uncomfortable with the fact that when we go to church, there's a corpse nailed to a tree, which is everywhere you can look. And even some Catholics have said, "Well, wait a minute, Father. St. Augustine once wrote, 'We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song.'" So is all this not some kind of scary and macabre relic of the Middle Ages or something? Why do we keep doing this? Well, we are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. Except during what season? Quiz. When do we not sing the Alleluia at Mass? During Lent. Okay, good. But the reason for the images of the dead and buried Christ, it's not to depress us. It's a constant reminder that the ultimate sacrifice was offered. The highest ransom was paid for each one of us. Jesus died for me. And because he died for me, I can live and live forever. So when I'm tempted to choose sin and go backwards to the jaws of death and hell from which I was freed, the lifeless body of the God-man stands before us. The words of Isaiah chapter 62, verses 2 and 5 ring in our ears. "I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people, who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, who say, 'Keep to yourself, do not come near me.'" Continuing in verses 17 and 19, "For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress." Jesus told us in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know, if we can't feel sadness sometimes, We have no heart. We have no feelings. What kind of a man are we? We have to be able to mourn the ways in which we have failed love and rejected God. We have to be able to mourn the fact that there is death and suffering and violence and war in the world. It's not all rainbows and sunshine all the time. For if we fail to mourn, then we also fail to love. And we get so caught up in ourselves that we fail to be moved to compassion. The image of the conqueror king, dead and buried, if it does not move us to the depths of our soul, move us to love and to compassion, then it's no fault of God. It's because our hearts are hardened by sin and we've forgotten how to love. Because behind the body of the Lord is also the glorious cross, which reminds us also that death is not the final answer. The body of Christ that we receive from the altar at Mass is not a symbol of a dead body from the past, but the living body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. It is the food of immortality. It is that which gives us union with God. The cross is not a sad symbol of torture of evil Romans from ages past. The cross is the threshold between heaven and earth. It is by and through the cross that we see love conquer death and good triumph over evil. And if you have yet to see that in your life, then maybe it's time to take a closer look.